Very good evening, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The wonder pump, of course, is our heart. Our heart is a very unique and special creation that God has given to all of us. Otherwise, if you don't have this, you won't be around. Some amazing heart facts. The heart is normally on our left-hand side. That's how we presume. Because when you put your hand on the left-hand side, you can feel the heartbeat. However, it is said that our heart is actually right in the middle, although it is tilted more to the left-hand side. That's why it appears as if it is on the left-hand side, when in fact it is between our two lungs. How big is our heart? As a boy, as a child, our heart is about the size of the fist. But as an adult, our heart is double the size of a fist. Two fists. The heart beats about 100,000 times one day and about 35 million times a year. That means in an average lifespan of about 70 years or so, our heart would beat about 2.2 billion times. If you take a tennis ball in your hand and then you squeeze it as hard as you possibly can, it is said that that is how hard our heart would pump the blood throughout our whole body. And it is twice as hard as the leg muscles of a person. On an average, a child would beat, a heart of a child would beat about 90 to 120 times. Of an adult, average heartbeat about 72 times. The aorta, the largest artery in the body, is about the diameter of a garden hose. But the capillaries, whereby our blood will travel through, is so small that it takes 10 of them to equal the size of the thickness of a human hair. Our body has about 5.6 liters of blood. This 5.6 liters of blood circulates throughout the body three times every minute because of the pump that we have. In one day, the blood travels a total of 19,000 kilometers. Now, how long is 19,000 kilometers? You fly from Singapore to London, it's about 10,000 kilometers. So it's there and back. So that's how your blood travels in one day. There and back, 19,000 kilometers. The heart pumps about 1 million barrels of blood during an average lifetime. That is about the size of three super tankers. Every time you listen to your heartbeat, it is the opening and closing of our heart valves. The sound that you hear, the poop, the poop, the poop, that's the sound. Now, these are some of the heart facts. The heart, as you know, is a muscle. But it is not like our normal skeletal muscle. The skeletal muscles are the muscles that you have in your arm, like your biceps, your thigh, your hamstring, and so on. These muscles are different from the heart muscles. The heart muscle, they call it the cardiac muscles. All the other muscles that we have in our body, they can take a rest. They can get tired, and you'll be fine. But not these heart muscles. If your heart muscles decided to take a rest, you're going to rest forever. It's a very special kind of muscle. So it's a muscle that will continue to beat and beat. Now, maybe some of us might say that it is perhaps equivalent to our tongue, because our tongue is a muscle that never gets tired, isn't it? You keep on talking and talking and talking, and you don't send your muscle, your tongue to the gym, somehow it's still so strong. Right? It's a special muscle, the tongue. But, however, it's still not like the heart, because even though our tongue doesn't seem to get tired most of the time, but when you're sleeping, I hope you don't talk when you're asleep, your tongue rests. Or your tongue doesn't move. So it still rests. But the heart, even though you're sleeping, it's still functioning, it's still pumping. Because if it stops, likewise, you're dead. So the heart is a very unique, piece of muscle that God has given to us. Now, if we all have about 2.2 million heartbeats in a lifetime, when you exercise, for example, when you run a marathon, the heartbeat of a marathon runner will go up to 150 beats per minute. Now, if you take 6 hours to complete a marathon, that means in that 6 hours, you use up almost one whole day of heartbeat. Because on an average, 100,000, right? If it goes up to 150 heartbeats per minute, and you take 6 hours, it's a whole lot. 150 beats per minute, so 6 hours, you use up practically a lot in that 6 hours. Nearly all of it, or maybe at least half of it. So that means the more you exercise, the more your heart beat faster, you use up more of it because that's a limit of 2.2 billion, right? Then maybe better not exercise. Because I spend a lot of energy exercising it, then I use up my quota, right? If your quota is 100,000 a day, and in 6 hours I use up half of it or more, then I better don't exercise, I must save my heart. So exercise, basically, is not good for the heart. But of course you know the opposite is true, right? Because the more you exercise, the stronger your heart would be. That means on your regular day-to-day normal life, your heart, instead of beating 72 beats per minute, because you exercise it, you become healthy. Yes, during the exercise time, you increase it, maybe per day, instead of using 100,000, now you use 150,000 per day because of your exercise. But because your heart becomes stronger, you don't need 72 beats per minute to go through the day. You need maybe 65 or 60, the healthier you are. So in that sense, although you use up a lot during that few hours of exercise, but for the rest of the time, you use up less. So therefore, if you do some calculation, you can live longer. You can maybe extend it by 10 years, depending on how healthy your heart is. So in other words, it's not good to increase the speed of your heartbeat unless it is to strengthen the muscle, whereby you exercise it, and then you can extend because you now spend less. That's why you've got to be very, very careful. Now, here is a chart of the number of heartbeats that you find for animals and people. I hope it's clear enough. I'm not sure whether this is good enough, because when I enlarge it, it becomes a little blur. Now, you notice from this chart, it's taken from San Jose University. Human, 2.2 billion, the longest. You look at your hamster, 0.7 billion heartbeats, can only live 3 years. How come? Nearly 1 billion heartbeat, because in a hamster, so tiny, their heartbeat is 450 heartbeats per minute. That's why your hamster, even though in a lifetime, they beat nearly 1,700,000 or 700 million heartbeat. But they live only 3 years because they take 450 beats per minute. You look at a monkey, 1.5. The closest I see is a chicken, right? 2.17 billion. But they live only 15 years. Why? Because they need 275 beats per minute for the chicken to run around and to stay alive. Of course, you don't kill it. You kill it, it's a lot shorter. Okay? So this is based upon an average lifespan for human beings, the same thing. Average lifespan. You look at an elephant, 1.1 billion heartbeat, only 30 beats per minute, because the elephant is so heavy. It's 5,000 kilograms. Okay? 70 years. A giraffe, you look at this chart. So, on an average, you find that on an average person, there is a limit to how long a heart can beat. And if you exercise, for us as human beings, you can extend your life quite a fair bit. This heart of ours, of course, if there is a problem, you try to fix it. And today's medical science allow us to fix our heart. You could even have a heart transplant. If you find a good match, you can extend your life through many medical ways. If your blood is too thick and it causes the heart to work a whole lot harder than usual, then it will thin the blood. There are many ways to help. If the valve has a problem, you can fix the valve. But when the heart muscle is weak, either you change your heart, there is no cure at this point in time to fix a weakened muscle that is your heart. And to the best of our ability, you must not get stressed. Because stress is very much like exercise. You get your heart to beat very fast. But in exercise, it strengthens your heart. It will slow down your heartbeat during your normal hours. But under stress, your heart will beat very fast and it will not strengthen your heart muscles. It will ruin your muscle. That's why the doctor says, don't stress. Remain calm. So there are a lot of ways now when they study the heart on how to extend your 2.2 billion heartbeat in the lifetime of an average person. Barring any disease, any accidents that will terminate your life. If you live healthily, if you exercise, that's how this pump of ours will continue. Now, it is a very unique and special pump. There is no pump on earth that can pump like our heart. Non-stop, continuously, from the moment that you begin to exist in your mother's womb, when your heart begins to develop, the moment it starts pumping, it cannot stop. It must go on and on and on. The moment it stops, it means death. Now the question is this, why must our heart stop? Why must we die? There was a time during the days of Noah where a person could live 800-900 years. You mean this pump of ours could pump for 800-900 years? These numbers that you saw, 2.2 billion, is our present lifespan of 70 years. That means this heart of ours, God permitting it, it could continue on for 800-900 years. That means 2.2 billion is very, very low in terms of number of times, even though as far as all the animal creatures are concerned, ours is the highest. 2.2 billion times. But Noah, Methuselah, that generation, they live a long, long time. Adam, 930 years. The longest man who lived on earth in the Bible, 969 years. You just imagine that heart of his, that pump that God had designed that will keep this body alive, that tiny little thing, the size of two fists, this size, is enough to keep this body going for hundreds of years if God so desires. We have been provoking God in our own way. Even the world have been provoking God. God made us. Our whole body has to speak of a designer because it is so intricate, it is so complicated. One finger alone, one tiny little finger alone tells us there is a designer. How much more our brain, our heart, our whole bodily function? How can there be no designer? And yet man says there is no designer, we came by accident. This designer of ours speaks of another perspective of our heart. If you find that your heart is not working very well, you want to fix it, right? That's obvious. You want to fix it as much as you can afford it. True? If you have a spare heart somewhere that can be transplanted into your body and you can well afford it, you'll fly all the way to the moon if necessary so that you can extend your life on earth. But God says this heart of ours, from God's perspective, is not a good heart. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. This was a record of the end of the flood. Because after the flood, the lifespan of man, where the heartbeat of man will now be drastically reduced. No longer will man be allowed to live hundreds of years. I will now allow the heart to reduce its heartbeat to 2.2 billion. No more multiplied by 10. Because if it's 80 years and 10 by reason of strength, add another 10 more years, that's 80 years. They live 800 years, this times 10. No more times 10. I'm going to cut it down. Because what happened in those days was, when man was allowed to live 800-900 years, they ruined God's creation. And the whole world was covered in sin. And the world became so bad. Imagine you live 800-900 years. Imagine God allowed this heart of ours to beat for 800-900 years. And if you are a murderer, and if you are a rapist, and you are an evil person, you know how long you'll be doing evil, how long you'll be murdering people? That's why God says, no longer will I allow man to live this long, because they will mess up my earth. I will cut it down by 10 times. Perhaps by then, they will take a longer time to mess up my world, because they will still mess up my world. How do we know that? Because God said this about our heart. Verse 21. I clean up the world with water. I wash it clean of all the filth, all the dirt, all the terrible sin, and all the sinners. I will clean it up. Only those in the ark will survive. And when Noah brought his family outside out of the ark, he offered a burnt offering unto the Lord. The Lord received the offering, and this was God's comment, God's evaluation of the heart of man in our generation, after Noah's time. That's our generation. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Now, when the Bible says the Lord God said in his heart, it is what we call in the Bible an anthropomorphic terminology. God using a human form to instruct us, to teach us. That God said this from a very personal part of him. This is my personal evaluation of the condition of man. And this was what he said. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Our heart is still evil from our youth. Why from our youth? Why not from infancy? Because from infancy we are already evil. What God is trying to highlight here is not the imputed sin from Adam, because we are all born in sin. What God wants to highlight here is the willful act. So when you are grown up to the age of a youth, what that age is, God did not specify. But once you are old enough to know the difference between right hand and left hand, once you are responsible for your own action, God now tells us the heart is already evil. The moment you are responsible for your own action, don't blame anyone. Don't blame society. It's us. It's our fault. And God said, I'm not going to curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. That means I'm not going to destroy this world by water ever again. The destruction of the world by water simply means God gave man a second chance. It's like a fresh new beginning. It's like someone telling us, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. I'm going to give you a new beginning. Don't mess it up. You owe the bank a great debt that you could not pay. You're going to be declared a bankrupt. And then your family members came and then they say, we are going to clean up the debt for you. You're going to pay the bank. Now you will no longer be in debt, but you must promise us, you're not going to get yourself into debt ever again. You're not going to waste your money from now onwards. You're going to work hard, no more gambling, no more using your credit card. Clean slate, start afresh. That's what God gave the world. By water, he cleaned out our mess that the generation in the time of Noah messed up. And God said, I'm not going to give you a second chance. This is it. Don't mess it up anymore. And later on, we know from scriptures, I'm going to destroy it by fire, and this time round, the fiery destruction will be permanent. No longer will man be allowed to rule this earth. After the fiery destruction, God says, I'm going to allow only my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, will now rule. Man's rule on earth will come to an end. Because every time when man rules, he makes a mess. You look at our rule, look at our government, look at the governments of the world. We make a mess of this earth that God has given to us. Not contented with our own boundaries, we conquer. And we murder, we kill millions of people.
in enlarging our so-called boundaries. When man rules, man's heart is evil from their youth. And so when they become adults, you just imagine how evil our hearts are. And you and I know that is true. Because when you look deep into your own hearts, you know that before God, you and I have evil motives. You and I have been very, very self-centered, and whatever we say, whatever we have done, it is for personal gain and benefit. And we make use of people time and time again. And these are the sins that will condemn us to hell. And God used a very important phrase. Our heart is evil. He didn't say our hands, our feet, our heart. Because this part of ours is the part that will keep this whole body alive. And when the heart is evil, it's as if every part of us is evil, because the heart will pump the blood and every part of our body depends on this heart for survival. And when the heart is evil, our mouth is evil, our hands are evil, our feet are evil, every part of us is evil. And that is true, isn't it? Very, very true. Before we do an act, the heart will think of the motives, the conniving, the cunning devices that we will employ to have an advantage over our neighbor. That's what we have been doing as unbelievers. And that is the condition of our heart. Now, if you have a practical, physical heart with a problem, you want to get it fixed. Now that God says our heart has a spiritual problem, it is evil. And you know that with an evil heart, you commit many sins in our lifetime. No exception. And if we die in our sin, God says we will end up in hell. And don't just say, well, I can wait. You can't wait because you don't know when your heart is going to stop beating. You do not know when you're going to leave this world. Don't you dare procrastinate as if tomorrow is guaranteed. That chart described an average lifespan of an average person. Any one of them could have their lives cut off. All the animals that are there, all could have their lives cut off. The chicken could have just become your supper. Human beings, you read in the papers, don't you see the messages that shouts out from the newspaper? How many people have died because of this bombing, that bombing? Those who died in this bombing, they did not know that when they woke up that morning, they're not going to be around by the end of the afternoon or by the end of the day. You think they have time to procrastinate and say, well, I will wait. They did not have time. Time is not in our hands. It's in the hands of God, not in the hands of your doctor. The doctor can say whatever they want. That you are healthy, that you are going to be well for the rest of the year. You want to believe the word of that doctor? He has no control over so many aspects of your life. We have doctors telling patients, year after year they go for a regular checkup, you are fine, you are fine, you are fine. And one day, the doctor says, you are not fine. You have stage 4 cancer and you have no more than a few months to live. But you just said last year that I'm fine and I'm okay, and how can you say now only a few more months? Sorry lah. Sorry lah. That's it. What else can you, what else do you want him to say? He is not omniscient. He is definitely not omnipotent. Please understand the danger that you are in. All of us are walking on very thin paper. And below the thin paper is hell. You can drop through. And if you are in your sin and you die in your sin, you will fall through, and beneath it will be the fiery furnace of hell. It is a place that you don't even want your worst enemy to be found in. You have a physical heart condition, you see a doctor. God is telling us, all sinners have a serious heart condition and it is called evil. But God says, I can fix it. You come to me, I will give you a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36. You find God's promise. I will give you a new heart, God says. I will take away your evil heart and I'm going to give you a brand new heart. Do you want it? Do you want it? You want to go and see a doctor and the doctor charge you an arm and a leg, and then maybe the heart he gives you may not help you. You are prepared for your physical heart to do something, anything, to extend one more day of your life on earth. And this evil heart of ours, if you don't fix it, we're going to spend eternity in hell. And now God says, I can fix it for you. Why don't you come to me? When your physical heart is wrong, and the doctor says you have to take an operation, a surgery immediately, you are prepared to listen to the doctor, and immediately you go for your operation, you drop everything. No matter how important your business endeavors are, no matter what your holiday plans might be, you drop everything, you want to get it fixed as soon as possible, right? That you don't delay, you don't procrastinate. Why do you want to procrastinate when it comes to your spiritual? God says, I will fix it for you. Ezekiel 36 verse 25. Ezekiel was a prophet in exile. He was taken during the second captivity of Judah by the Babylonians in the year 597 BC. And while he was in captivity in Babylon, just like his predecessor Daniel, who was taken in the first captivity, God spoke to him. God used him to encourage the Israelites. And these are the words of encouragement of God Almighty to his people and to all of us this evening. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. God says, I will do it. Your good works cannot. You can't buy this. God says, I will do it. All you need to do is come to me humbly, confessing all your sins. Don't you dare brag. You're not going to bribe me. Don't you dare say, God, if you give me a new heart, I will give so much to the orphans. I will give so much to build this hospital. God is not going to be bribed. God is prepared to offer this to you free of charge. But his condition is that you come to him bankrupt of soul, admitting that you are a sinner through and through in your heart, that you cannot do anything to save yourself. God says, I will give it to you. I will make you clean. You shall be clean from all your filthiness, not some, not most, no matter how terrible your sins might be. You can be a serial killer. God says, I can make you clean. All your filthiness, all your idols, and you and I know we have idols. It will be our money. It will be our gods. It will be someone whom you regard as more important than God. Those are idols. And a new heart, verse 26, also will I give you. You see, it's a gift. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. God says, I will give it to you, and a new spirit to come with it, whereby you will understand that you really have this new heart. Your spirit will be able to understand. And I'm going to put inside you, and I will take away the stony heart. That's why our heart is evil. It is stony. It is hardened. And I will replace it with a heart of flesh. A stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That is our new heart. And that's why God wants to give it to you. Spiritual surgery. Done by the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way is that you come to God, believe that Jesus Christ is the one who died on the cross for your sin. That's the way. That's the only way. The Israelites, the Jews, all understood this. Because whenever they sin against God, they know that they have to lay hands on a perfect, unblemished animal that God himself has decided and determined for them. And that animal will die for their sins. And they know that when an animal dies for their sin, it is looking forward to what Jesus Christ will do for them. They all know that. Until Jesus comes, these animals will take the place until Jesus comes. We live in a time when Jesus has already come. The sins that you and I commit has a penalty. And the penalty is, if you die in your own sin, you will have to pay the penalty yourself in hell. But because God sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for you and for me, and he died for us, he went to the cross, the most cruel and painful death for you and for me. And because he died for you and for me, and if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ from your heart, without any holding back, unconditionally, you surrender your life to the Lord, God says, I will give you a new heart. That's all it takes. You just come humbly before the Lord. Don't think you have tomorrow. Don't think you have next week. Do it now. If you listen to the voice of your medical doctor, when your heart is in trouble, you listen to God, who is now your spiritual doctor. And he says that your heart is in serious trouble. It is made of stone. It is evil from the time of your youth. And you know it is true. You know in your own heart of hearts, that's who we are. And God says, you come to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit will I put within you. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you, that is the Holy Spirit. God will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God will live inside you and cause you to walk in my statutes. So how do I know that I have the Spirit of God in my heart? How do I know I have a new heart, a heart of flesh? The Word of God. A person who has a heart of flesh, who has a new heart, he wants to obey the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. Cause you to walk in my statutes. Cause you. That means you will naturally, the Spirit of God will guide you and you will want to do it. It is not an act of the will. It is not whether you can choose to or don't want to. Naturally, a newly born again believer will want to walk according to God's word. He can't help himself. That is the conduct and behavior of a new heart. Just as the evil heart wants to walk the way of sin. That's who we are, right? Total depravity. We can't help ourselves from the time we were young boys, young girls. We sinned. Our heart was evil. Our motives were evil. Our thoughts were evil. Our actions were evil. But once you have a new heart, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Your life will be transformed and changed. And you want the Bible from now onwards to be your guide. And that's why there is a thirst and a hunger for God's Word. Because without the knowledge of God's Word, you kind of walk the right way. That's why Christians will love to study God's Word. Why do you think every church must have a lot of avenues for the Word of God to be taught to His people? Because this will be one of the clearest evidence of a person who has a new heart. The Word of God, his relationship with God is seen in the Word of God. How he relates to God by obeying the Word of God. And he will keep the Word of God. That's what he says. Keep God's judgment and he will do them. Keep means guard. He will not let anyone or anything take the Word of God away from him because it is not very precious to him, and then he will obey it in his life. And then God says, ye shall dwell in the land that I will give to your fathers, that's pertaining to Israel. You will come back home to the land of promise, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And this is also for us. You will be God's people now, and God says, I will become your God. I will take care of you. I will protect you. Right now, he cannot be your God because you are God's enemies. And you are not God's people. You are God's enemies. But once you are given a new heart, you are God's people. And God will become your God. That's a new heart. You know there is no evolution. You know full well there cannot be any evolution. The theory of evolution is a contradiction to all that we stand for. Do you know that if you really believe in the law of, or the theory of evolution, every government should give equal rights to every creature? Because we all evolve, right? So the chicken should have every right as us. And so I heard on the BBC once, long time ago, and I don't know why they never mentioned it or developed this idea, that there's one country in Europe want to give equal rights to chimpanzees and monkeys because they are the closest to us. And so when you see two gorillas fight in the zoo, then you must take them to court. Then who will be the judge? You get another gorilla judge. I'm not kidding. They said this, you know, in BBC. And then, of course, the BBC reporter make fun of them. I mean, you get a gorilla judge. And then who is going to be the trial lawyer to defend this plaintiff and the defendant? And you get human beings. Human beings are going to go and talk to the gorilla judge. The gorilla judge will look at you. You're a clown. Because if you believe in evolution, they should have the equal rights, isn't it? You should give the equal rights to the pig and to the chicken and to all kinds of bugs. This is ridiculous, isn't it? Because they're all related to us, right? And that's why those people who do not eat such things, they are the best evolutionists. Because if you believe in evolution and you eat chicken rice, you eat char siu, you're eating your relatives, you know. Correct, isn't it? I mean, this is ridiculous and this is stupid, isn't it? And yet you believe in evolution. You see, your whole lifestyle, what you do, your whole government system argues against evolution. It is not in favor of evolution. And yet you want to teach evolution as how we originate out of this earth. You see how ridiculous we are? You know it cannot be true. And the Word of God made it abundantly clear that it is not true. And now you look at your heart, designed and created by God. And when there is a problem, you go to a human being to get it fixed. And now our Heavenly Father who made us, God who made us, tell us that you and I have a problem with our heart. Don't you want to get it fixed? God says, I'm prepared to give you a new heart. Whereby you don't have to worry about evil or sin anymore, because once God gives us a new heart, it will remain new for eternity. You're not going to lose your salvation. Evil will never come back. You will never have a heart attack. It will be forever fresh and brand new. That's the new heart in Christ Jesus. No one can separate us from God because of Jesus Christ. That's our new heart. And when you stop breathing, when you leave this world, you don't die. You are transported straight away to heaven in the presence of God Almighty. Such a wonderful new heart. How can you ever reject it? How can you ever say, I want to wait? You want to wait? It doesn't make sense. It is not logical. In the physical realm, you don't wait. If the doctor says, tomorrow someone can give you a brand new physical heart, you say, carry on, tomorrow straight away, I will get it done. Immediately, if tonight I also go get it done. True? And that is only for the physical life. It may extend you for another couple of years or more. That's it. Here we are talking about hell and heaven. Eternity in hell, eternity in heaven, and you want to wait? It doesn't make sense. You should never wait. When God says to you, I will give you a new heart, I will wash away all the evil, your stony heart will be transformed to a heart of flesh, and it will be yours forever, my spirit will live in you, and the evidence is, you will obey my statutes and my judgments, and you will do them. And I will be your God, and you will be my people forever. That's the new heart. If you are a Christian, and you don't obey God's word, you ask yourself, do you really have a new heart? Why am I so cold to the word of God? Why do I have no thirst and hunger for the word of God? Why do you think we have church Bible study? It's for the church. Why do you think we have Bible studies of the Bible studies? Because truly born again believers will have a thirst and a hunger for God's word, because the Spirit of God lives in them, and the Spirit of God will want to obey the word of God, and they can't lead and guide us to the word of God when we don't have the word of God in us. That's why the church must flood the members with many opportunities to study the word of God. Our church camp is for that. All the young people's camp, all for that. Our Bible study groups are for that. Our kindergarten is for that. Our Sunday school children, everything is centered around God's word. It has to. Because Jesus promised us, my sheep, here's my voice. And if you are transformed, you are God's people, you are God's sheep, you will hear the voice of the Father. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord, for some in our midst who may be struggling and have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, that Thy Holy Spirit may bring conviction to such a heart, that this person may find in Jesus Christ His all-sufficiency, His Lord, His Savior, His Master. For He alone, by the power of God Almighty, is the only one who can give him a new heart. For this heart that we have is a heart of stone filled with evil and sin. And the new heart that God gives to us is a heart of flesh filled with goodness, holiness, and righteousness. O Lord, may all who have been brought into Thy house this evening search our own hearts
Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. For this is our heart's cry, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Hear us. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.